Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving. Mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He really is. And he loves us. That's the thing about the Lord our God, the King. He loves us. He cares about every part of our life. And as we go forward doing the mighty works of God, learning his ways. And what I mean by the mighty works of God, that's living the word of God. A lot of people want to go different places to do a great work for God. But all you have to do is represent the Lord by walking in the love of God towards people. Treating people the way you want to be treated. Treating people the way Jesus treated you. He died for us when we were on the run. And don't expect people in the world to love you back like Jesus loves you. We're not loving people so they'll love us back. We're loving people because we're representing the love of God. And this is not fake love. This is not religious love that stops when people don't love you. This is real, unfeigned love, sincere love. I really care about people. Some people, I understand that people are doing whatever they're doing, they're wrong. I still love them as a person. And I know that sin will kill them. And I can't say that they'll be fine when they're not going to be fine. My job is to let people know God's ways. God has a plan of redemption that we desperately need. And I love people. I sincerely love people. And I know that they don't always love me. And some people may even be dangerous against me. But the Lord taught me to love his people. And I asked him to help me do this. And I found out it wasn't just necessary. It's also fun. It's a blessing to love people because they need you to. And when they're at their worst, that's when they need you the most. I don't stop praying for people. Now, when the Lord resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. I don't pray for the world like I pray for God's people. I pray according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was praying for his people and those who would believe the report of salvation. In the future, which is us. And he prayed way back when he was on the earth. He prayed for those that believe, and one day we'll look at that. But he said, I don't pray for the world, those that love the world. He made a distinction. Because God doesn't go against the boundary of your will. If you're in Christ, it's because that's what you desire. You heard the word of God. It was the word of God was spoken to you. You received it, then you believed it, then you acted on it at your own free will. And so it is with everybody in the kingdom of God. I can't coerce you to believe. I let people know. And I have to let people know the dangers of not believing on Jesus Christ because they're outside of the covenant. And the enemy is trying to keep people outside of the covenant, the agreement with the blood of Jesus. It's by his shed blood that we are saved. He died in our place. We believe it. We believe it by faith. And what we mean by washed in the blood, that means we're righteous because we believe what God said. We believe that he did die for us and wash away our sin. All of it. All of our sins that were past. And we're not supposed to walk in sin anymore. We don't have to. He gave us the ability to walk in newness of life. He gave us the ability to live no different than him. He gave us the ability to love our enemies. To love our loved ones. To love our people. Watch this. And to love politicians that disagree. If they're a person, we need to be loving them sincerely, not fake religious love, real, sincere, godly love. Very important. Now, last week we talked about learning. When we enter in the kingdom of God and we receive the Lord's word, his written word, we find it to be life. A healing process forms in us. And if you, as you start acting on the word of God, the healing power of God starts operating in your life, and you start making life decisions. Instead of worldly decisions, you're making true decisions, godly decisions, love decisions, wisdom decisions, pure decisions. And you regard what the Lord says. If the Lord said it's dangerous, then you don't do it, because you know he's telling you the truth. And then, now, whatever he say don't do, and whatever he say to do, when you study it, when you study the word of God, you can obviously see that this is going to bless your life. It's not hard to figure out that this is going to work out for your best interest at hand. So as you practice doing the things that God said do, loving people the way God loves you, and this is not popular, so preachers dance around this. They try to make the gospel seem enticing to benefit your desires. But when you live from the point of view of the word of God, you enter into a much greater form of life, and an education comes with it. When you study the word of God, you get much more than an education. You get to see and embrace life itself, pure life. The life of God, and that healing process I'm always talking about forms in you. It doesn't indoctrinate you, because there's no deception in it. When people are indoctrinated, they're deceived and persuaded within an illusion. But see, God's word is not an illusion. It's reality. All the other religions is full of illusion, lies, deceit, deception, because it cannot, there's no healing process that can enter your life. Even when they try to do good, they're trying to work their way into heaven. And that's just a frustrating way to live. And the fact that they're doing things that, you know, the enemy gave some godly principles. But see, when you're trying to work your salvation around Christ, you're a thief and a robber. It's not going to work. You're no different than you were when you first start attempting to do what's right. See, doing what's right, nature itself suggests that you should do what's right. But you don't have the ability with that sin nature. So Jesus, here comes Jesus and wash away our sin, breaks that sin nature, the curse of that sin nature, gives you a brand new heart that desires the things of God. Then it's up to you to renew your own mind, because there's no, God's not going to make you do it. People that do this, they do it because that's what they desire to do. When we hear the word of God, we respond in the love of God. We receive what he's saying, and then we fill our heart with the word of God. That's where we have faith. And then we embrace the life of God, the love of God. And then we relay it to other people. This kind of love didn't come from us. It came from God. God gave us a representation of his love, and we share it with others. And we have the strength to do it. We have the peace. And as we do the things of God, we have our joy mounts up. All Christians don't share the joy of God. And some Christians walk out of the peace of God. And they're struggling trying to do the works of the ministry. And they get in strife, and they get frustrated when things don't go the way they think they should, or the way that they really should go. But see, when you have that healing process forming in you, you're doing it from another angle. You're doing it from the position of life and strength and health. I'm talking about the life of God that nourishes you. But see, the efforts of men, they work They work to, they, it's a, you're putting forth effort. And if you're not doing it according to the love of God, let's say a person's, some people preach so that they'll look good before man. And they want to give a good presentation so people will think that they're smart. You know, you can put so much pressure on yourself to do things such a magnificent way that you miss the point. But when you're receiving the love of God, relaying the love of God, helping people understand who Jesus is, pointing them to him so that he can do the same thing in their life, then you don't, you're free from competition. You're free from the worldly influences of pride, lust, and greed. When you know that God is your security, you rest in him and you're strengthened by him. And that's a beautiful way to live. That's the best way to learn. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. Also, when we receive the life of God, the Holy Spirit's here to guide us. When we take time and study the Word of God and receive it in our heart, the Holy Spirit is able to help us to grow and help us to go forward in the things of God, to help us to see what he sees. He will guide you into all truth. And he loves us. He will guide you into all truth. Now, the Holy Spirit loves us, and he guides us into all truth. He watches over our life. If whatever he brings to your attention, please write it down. If he give you a dream, write down the details of it while it's fresh in your heart. Because this is for your life. This can save you a lot of aggravation. A lot of people, they keep having the same problems because they do things the way that they would do it. They're operating their life with the limited information that they have, the way they feel, the way they see things, the way they judge, and they listen to people. People's voices are so loud. People make a lot of noise. And they're persuaded that their advice is the best. And whatever they believe, that's what they're going to push. But when you listen to that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit, if you take time and notice, if you consider it, if you write it down so it don't get stolen from you, you know, the enemy will try to steal it from your memory. If you write it down, you'll notice the peace in it. The wisdom is better. Now, go back and find scriptures. Find a scripture reference of what God is saying. It's going to match the character of God. It's going to match the wisdom of God, the love of God that we just talked about. This is how you begin to make sober healing decisions and stick with it. Some people, they hear what the Holy Spirit guides them to do. They know it because usually people who detect it in the first place, they do take time and study the Word. That's why they have a reference for it. Then they think about it and the enemy will give them thoughts against it. Then they go and ask their friends what they would do. And sometimes people at church ask them what they would do. And some of them don't study the Word. They don't. They talk before they think. And now the holy information that the Holy Spirit gave you is challenged by the reasoning of men. I've had all kind of problems in my life. And the Holy Spirit guided me through it. And the concerns that I did have, I asked the Lord what to do. I asked him for his wisdom, his counsel, his understanding. And I was quiet. And the Lord caused the right people to say what I needed and give me the confirmations that I really did need. And it was so much better than the half-cocked advice I got from people that was just trying to help. And the reason I say half-cocked advice is because it did not match what the Holy Spirit was saying. Some people give advice before they pray. Let me say that another way. Some Christian people, they really do love God, and they really are in the kingdom of heaven. They really are in the kingdom of God. They give advice before they pray. And the more confidence they have in their own way of thinking, the more advice they give. Advice can be good, and advice can be deadly. You have to line up with the Word of God for it to heal your life. The healing process I'm talking about is the pure, unadulterated Word of God. It will never fail you. It will never lead you astray. It will never hijack your life. It will never put you under. Whatever you do, ask the Lord about what you're doing and how to do it in faith for the right reasons and with the right motives. That's when you're going to always have that healing process to carry, helping you to make the most sober decisions in order to go forward in life. Everything else is not worth trusting. But as you follow the Lord your God and King, take him at his word, speak his word, do his word, that healing life, as you live over time, you steadily learning. You're steadily, not just learning, you're steadily experiencing the life of God, the knowledge of God, the counsel of God. You're steadily being edified and built up. And you'll have enough in your reserve to do combat so that you can combat the wiles of the enemy who's trying to stop you. Satan is going to always try to stop you. He's going to try to counter everything God is doing. But as you grow stronger and stronger, proud people don't like to be outdone. Satan don't either. Now, most of the time, what we're fighting are demons and their influence, or fallen angels and their influence. But it's under the direction of Satan. So why not just kill the snake at the head? You can fight foot soldiers all day, but say, Satan, stop it in Jesus' name. When you do that, when you continue to go forward, speaking the word of God, against every counterfeit form of advice that's from the enemy, you're not just doing this privately. When you counter the operations of Satan, you're doing it before all of God's creation. Because everything that we do is recorded. Everything that we do is not just recorded, but it's in real time. Angels can see it. Demons can see it. Everything you do is recorded. Whatever you do, it's known. And Satan don't like to look bad. When he can't get you to fall, when he can't get you to sin, and when he can't get you to submit to him, it's very embarrassing for him. Because God saw him fail. He could not get you to do what he wanted you to do. You kept doing it God's way. And then you come to a point that you master your life. The word of God will help you heal to the point that you master your life. And you will go forward. The proverb said it this way: the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool stumbles in the darkness. He don't know where he's going. But when you have a reference of God's word to heal the problems in your life, you can see what's going on. The word of God builds you up to the point that you can see life for what it is. You can see darkness for the lie that it is. And when people line up with the world, you'll know it. And when people line up with the Holy Spirit, you'll know it. As you follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you're going to come to a point that you realize that you cannot fail. As long as you do things His way. Whatever you have in your mind and heart to do, why not pray and seek the Lord, even if you know what to do? Ask him, is there a way to do it better? Tell him what you had in mind. Ask him, will it work? Ask him, are you overlooking something? These are the personal things which, if you do, your life will heal in a greater way. I love the things of God. I love to let people know that God does have a greater plan. And now when it comes to his work, that's the only way to do it. If you're devising up a scheme, or not that it's bad, if you're coming up with a plan to do God's will, remember who called who to the ministry. If God called you to the ministry, then he should be the one to tell you how to do the ministry. But if you're going to say, no, I'm going to do it my way, I got this, God, I know what I'm doing. If you knew what you were doing, the rest of your life would be super, it wouldn't be superficial, it would be super magnificent. But God, who sees everything in real time, and the things that's down the road, and the things that's coming at you tomorrow, he's a better judge of what to do. We don't trust God because we should, and it makes more sense. We actually operate in the wisdom of God and trust him because of past dealings with him. When you study his word and do it, you have a reference that God is good and he honors his word. And the word is life. And as you do the things that the Holy Spirit guides you to do, you're going to learn for yourself that God told the truth. Just like he did in the Bible. See, in the Bible, you can finish the story and read the conclusion. But when God's telling you what to do, you can't read the whole story in one moment. And you can't see the conclusion. You're in it. You're in the story. But if you follow God, you're going to have a reference that he knows what he's talking about. I used to get skeptical about doing what God said. I didn't see what he saw, so I felt very apprehensive. And I tried to tell God all the reasons I shouldn't do this, because I didn't see what he saw. But I made a vow that I would obey him. So I put aside my concerns and obeyed him. And then I found out that God can really be trusted. That's why most people don't tell you, don't minister this way, because they don't live this way. And I understand, I'm not casting them down. The reason I followed through was not because I'm so much more honorable. I made a vow that I would obey God, and I had to do it. But from that position, the position that I took, trying to keep my word, I would do what he gave me to do, no matter how it made me look, feel, or seem. And it always worked out well, and much greater than my expectations. So I learned about following God, not because I'm so much more honorable than others. People don't know what can happen when they follow through with what the Holy Spirit has given them. And then when their pattern, just think about it logically for a moment. When their pattern is always to regard the advice of people that they can see, how can they ever develop the relationship of trusting God when they always do things the way that mere men would do them? Habakkuk 2 and 4 says that the just shall live by his faith. That's the only way. The world is full of illusion. You'll never break through it with limited knowledge. You have to do it God's way. Some things will never be successful, and you'll never have new vision unless you learn to do it. Unless you learn to do precisely what God is saying. without argument, without restraint, obeying. That's how you learn to trust him. There used to be a song in the Methodist church and in other churches too. This was a common song all over America called Trust and Obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You'll never know how wise God is unless you act on his word. Remember, the people you read about, you can read the whole story. You can see where they detoured. You can see where they came back sometimes. And you wonder, why did they do that? That's because they couldn't see the end result. They were in it. They were in the story just like you're in the story now. If you live your life by the guidance of by the wisdom of the Proverbs, it's easier for the Holy Spirit to give you something to do. And it's easier for you to follow through if you have a reference of the wisdom of the Proverbs. If he guides you to do do a ministry that will solve great big problems, and you study the things that Moses did, and you study how his life went and how God was always there, it is very challenging to do these things and follow through unless you study the word day and night. Now, that doesn't mean all of your time. It means you study the word a portion of your time in the day, and you think about it while you're doing your responsibilities. And before you go to bed, you study the word to receive the healing and to receive the vision of God's word, so that the Holy Spirit can relate to you what he's doing. And remember, even at your best efforts of doing these things, you don't always fully agree with what God is doing. You don't know how to judge it. You don't know how, you may not understand how important it is, and the Lord knows this. But if you can act on what he said, then you're doing something that he can bless. And it will amaze you what happens. Now, that's what happened to me. I made a vow in 1988, when some of you may have been born. I was going to UAB at the time, and the Lord told me something about business. I had my own business in those days. I still do. And I kept having reoccurring problems, same problem continually. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do I fix this? What do I do? And he told me what to do, and I saw that it would work. I said, this will work. And I was so excited. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it, whether I like it or whether I don't. Whether I love it or hate it, I'm going to obey you. Now, that was a vow. So when the Lord started telling me things to do, I had to do it. I didn't always have the courage to do it. I didn't always see what he saw. I would have to give people a word from the Lord. And I felt all kind of ways about it, just like you would, just like others did. But I made myself obey him. I prayed in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he'd tell me what to do, I'd get nervous, and I'd pray. And then I'd pray in the Holy Spirit until I felt better. Praying in the Holy Spirit is praying in tongues. And then I felt better. I was able to, then I nervously did whatever he said do. Sometimes I'd be nervous, sometimes that was joy. Not all the time, but sometimes I just grit my teeth and do it and say it. And then things started happening. People started making better judgments. At one point he gave me so many words, I said, Lord, I don't like this. I said, what if I tell somebody something and I'm deceived? I said, I need a confirmation. He said, your confirmation will come as a horizon. A horizon. Just like when the sun is dawning a day, you see more and more. Well, just like he said, people started coming back that I had been giving words to, and they was talking about how accurate it was and how God blessed them. Well, from there, I had more confidence. I had a reference that I was actually following God. So I was a little bolder. I stopped being so nervous and so anxious. And then he started giving me greater assignments and then greater assignments. And the things that he gave me to do and say was so fascinating. And it worked more than I could ever expect. Now, when all this happened, my confidence in the Lord grew. I began to trust him more. And then he showed me this is the way it's supposed to be. If God is the author and finisher of your faith, you're gonna end up in a very good situation. You're going to be able to bless people on greater levels. But if you always stick to what you know and don't endeavor to learn more and follow God, then your life will be just like it is now. Now, none of these things I'm talking about has anything to do against your salvation. If you follow God, your personal life will be better. What you do for God will be better. And people will live and not die. And they'll live better and not worse.